Georgia deal.
And what happens to Georgia?
We almost have him right where we want him right now. We almost have Georgia right where we want them because with him, he's already shot his guns, so to speak.
Do they bring Kirby Smart home?
I'd love to see Kirby Dumb there. Back to the phones we go, like Charlie, like Charlie Week at Texas. I love Charlie Week at Texas. We almost hired Charlie Week. Thank God he turned us down. What happened with them in Iowa State? Did they lose tonight? Have we seen a final on that?
I don't know, but that the other guy, tennis that Dave Hart tried to get, Mike Gundy, they had a basketball game today with Texas Tech.
Unbelievable!
They won, what, 70-53?
Bino said it best yesterday.
A lot of defense
in games
there.
Like that. There's so much scoring that it's arena football. It's ridiculous. If college football turns into that, count me out. I'm out of here. Back to the phones we go. Hello and welcome to the show. Smartway Dalton Bearing Hydraulic, fifth quarter fan reaction. Welcome.
I don't think Gundy used this as a bargaining chip, didn't he?
Yeah, probably.
I mean, we were just an ante in a contract negotiation.
Yep.
Is Sexton his agent?
They're all.
He got an extra oil field out of T. Boone Pickens for that one.
Yeah, they're all represented by Sexton.
Quick note: did a switch turn on in the Georgia game? Seems like since that Georgia comeback, we've been a different team. I think we've always been good, but we realized we were good after the Georgia game. Do you agree with that or disagree? Like the Bino's thoughts on that too.
Bino, jump in.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt that when we were able to score twice, I believe it was late in the first half, it does seem like we've been a different football team since that point.
The game that scares me on the schedule we have left is the Missouri game. They just make you play ugly, and we've got to go out there and play them. That's the one that bothers me the most that's left on the schedule. I think we can handle the other ones we're playing. What do you think about that? Do you think that's going to be the hardest game on the remaining on the schedule?
I was talking to last year. Donnie Tindall helped me see something about coaching, and he talks about certain coaches that he likes because they quote-unquote F with the game. And that is exactly what Missouri does with a football game if you watch them. They fool around with a game to the point where you kind of lose sight of what you're trying to do. You're up there. You're on the road. Do we know what time that game is yet, Russell, the Missouri game? We don't know yet. It's probably going to be a night game,
sure it'll be
like
night,
this one.
About like 22 degrees.
22 degrees. I agree with you. I think that game scares me. They get their quarterback back. They're not very good, but it's a one-shot deal for them. We haven't exactly been lights out against them. I think we've lost three straight games coming into this one. You do not want to have a four-game losing streak to Missouri. It's very important for Tennessee to win out and win the rest of them. And by the way, South Carolina played pretty darn well today on the road with Texas A&M.
Well, you see,
pretty darn
these
well.
Teams that have the interim coaches, Minnesota, yep. South Carolina.
Miami tonight.
Miami. You know, when the guy, the old guy who's lost his team gets out of the way and the new guy gets a chance and he rallies the troops, the Miami Dolphins, you know. And they all of a sudden the team that was struggling plays hard and they have a renewed energy. Yeah, you better strap it on next week.
No question.
We ranked those, Tony, yesterday on the show, and you and I felt like in order of difficulty, it was Missouri first, Kentucky second. Then I said Vandy, then South Carolina, then North Texas State. So I don't think there's any doubt that that's the most difficult game left on our schedule, but I think it's also the easiest game for us to be mentally prepared to play because of the fact that we have not beaten them.
One last question. I hate to bring this up on such a great victory tonight, but your human nature is to say, what if? Looking back in the Florida game, if that ball would have just cleared the uprights instead of coming backwards, what would our record be now? Would that game have given us the confidence to go on and just topple the rest of the opponents on our schedule? Your thoughts on that?
Thank you. Great talking to you. Look,
I don't want to think about it.
Yeah, I don't want to think about it either. But my thought is, I can't believe that Florida is going to win the East. I just can't believe that. I can't believe you can have Treon Harris at quarterback and win the Eastern Division. I can't believe they won a Neyland Stadium with him as quarterback last year. And by the way, the kid they started this year wasn't exactly great.
Nope.
But still, that guy down there at Florida.
What a well-coached team.
Ha ha!
Yeah.
Ha!
Not going to beat themselves, do just enough to win.
Wow.
And you know what? Whoever they play in the SEC championship game, they're going to be completely outmatched. But is there any doubt in your mind that McElwain is going to have them prepared to play and in that game with a chance to win in the second half? He'll hang around.
Mike Pereira, it does appear that there was a knee down based on some pictures I've seen. It was close, but it was down. Mike Pereira is going off on Twitter right now, Bino. He thinks that college football officiating is substandard, Bino.
Well, he's correct if he's comparing it to the NFL. I've just watched the play for the first time. The only thing that took longer than that play was the review. That was about a 5-minute play.
Well, Duke doesn't exactly have a lot of speed, Bino, on their football team. Mike Pereira said, more importantly on that play, they used replay to decide to pick up the flag for the block at the 25. Replay is not allowed to review a call for that. He said, what are they doing? He said, I've been here at Fox looking at the Duke game, and Duke got tricked on Halloween. No way that's a touchdown, he said. Poor David Cutcliffe pours his heart out into coaching, and that's what you get. And that could have easily been us. That's the thing about it, man. Hey, tonight, if that's a close game, I'm going to say this again. If that's a close game and Mosley goes out of that game tonight, and they have that mechanism in place where they, on the field, they call it, the targeting, and then they go to the targeting one call, but you've got to back that up with replay evidence. They went to somebody in a booth tonight who said, yeah, that's right. He gets thrown out of the game for that.
How ironic is it?
That's unbelievable.
Emmanuel Mosley, probably the least physical player on the team. What does he weigh, like 97 pounds?
Great irony.
Soaking wet. And
great irony.
He's the guy who's going to get thrown out of the game.
Let me say a word here about First Mortgage Lenders, because they're not going to sell you short like that guy in the booth did tonight. Let me tell you this. Jim Baker and the gang there, he's been bringing it. And he is one of the coolest dudes I've ever met in my life. Jim Baker at First Mortgage Lenders. A 20-year track record of helping folks find the right mortgage loan or product to fit your need. Not their need, your need. And it doesn't matter what you're hunting. If you're hunting a conventional loan, gotcha. FHA loan, VA no down payment such as a USDA rural development loan. First Mortgage Lenders is here for you. Securing a loan, simple and straightforward, no games, no gimmicks, no slogans, 925-0700, 925-0700, online, firstmortgagelendersinc.com. Back to the phones we go. Let's get our next call in, and let's get our next call. And by the way, Mike Pereira, one more thing he said. Word is that the crew made the decision, but that is bogus, as the referee called over the officials after going back to talk about a replay the second time, which is what Russell's talking about. The referee came out of a...
Yeah, I've never seen
that
before. It's crazy.
He comes out of the replay, Bino, turns his mic on and goes, oh, we gotta go back and look at this again. We haven't arrived at a conclusion. What are you, down in Tallahassee, Florida? It's a 2000 election? Make a damn call.
How about this?
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead.
How about this from Chris Lowe of ESPN? SEC championship game matchup that could be bad news for the SEC in terms of being shut out of the playoff. Apparently, this is a possibility. Florida versus Ole Miss.
Yeah, Ole Miss, if they win, is in. Ole Miss, if they win, is in.
Wow.
To the phones we go. Let's go.
I guess they play LSU still.
Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, doing great tonight. Thank you.
Mouthpiece.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, man, I told you 6 weeks ago, Tony, that, golly, this special teams, I don't know how he does it. You remember that text?
Absolutely.
I don't think I'd be so livid if Florida wasn't just going to walk into the championship game. I mean, that, I'm not going to get negative, but I mean, we know, you know, if you hold that game off, even if you lose to Arkansas, Alabama, and Oklahoma, you're cruising to Atlanta with a team that could probably win the league. But going forward, I mean, you know, Bino, am I getting sheepy to maybe start to really want to believe in Butch Jones here?
MP, I think our hope here is that I think what we need to take out of this football season is, as heartbreaking as it's been, there is no question that we finally have an SEC football team roster-wise. We've got it.
I mean, they're ready to go every game. Every game they're prepared. It's just the damnest thing I've seen.
And
I mean, you look at the 07 former team that backed into Atlanta.
Yep.
That team was blown out three times, had to have dumb luck to win three games down the stretch against Kentucky, Vanderbilt, and South Carolina, and was a play away from winning the SEC title. I would put this team up against that team. It's just mind-blowing, guys.
What we have to find out here, MP, going forward, is do we have a staff that can get their team to the point where they can finish? That's what we don't know. That's what has to be answered. But the way the season has progressed has proven we played right with really good football teams, had two on the ropes that we should have beaten. We've got a good football
team. We made Oklahoma and Florida what they are, and they're both, you know, top 10 teams. But I guess another question would be just sort of a rhetorical question is, you know, could we hire a coordinator better than Jancic or DeBoer? Because, you know, Auburn's proven that throwing money at a Muschamp isn't the cure-all. And I won't stay on long, guys. Russell, congrats on getting back on the air, man. And definitely be tuning in. Tony, great job. And just think about this, guys. With that Emmanuel Moseley controversy, John and Jimmy will have something to talk about on that Rocky Good segment for Rocky Good to defend.
For him to defend. Go ahead, Dubsy.
I was just going to say thank you.
Ah,
for the kind words.
I like when it's all in the air. And you know what? For people who say, well, see, we keep it real on here, okay? Now, I'm going to keep it real from this regard. I've got to let go the first 7 weeks of the season, or I'm not going to enjoy what's about to happen. I've got to let that go.
Well, you
work all year. You get in the stretch drive. It's time to eat dessert. You know, you're a kid, and you're at the dinner table. And your mom made, like, your least favorite dish. But your dad's one of those hardcore people that makes you eat it. My dad was like that.
Oh, yeah.
And I would hide stuff.
You're going to eat those green beans.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
and
you,
I'd be hiding stuff under my plate.
You stick it in the napkin.
Yes.
And stick it in your pocket.
Put in your pocket. And truthfully, this football season, dad has made us pull stuff out of the napkin and eat it.
Oh,
like, literally stuff that's already been chewed. And so that's what this season's been like. And now mom's going to put a big piece of my favorite chocolate on chocolate cake.
A nice glass of milk.
Oh, exactly. And that's what I want to enjoy. And I want to know that next year, I'm going to have some homemade pizza sitting there for me. My favorite dish when I was a kid. Mom's
homemade
gonna make me
pizza?
Mom made pizza. Oh, my
really?
Mom could make the best. Oh, Italian woman? Yeah, homemade pizza. What's the matter with that?
I thought pizza wasn't really Italian.
And you're a sheep. Tennessee Sports Medicine. What are you talking?
Pizza's not Italian.
Tennessee.
You know that. Call yourself an Italian.
Tennessee.
But you think French fries originated in Paris, too, don't you?
Bino, your thoughts on my analogy, then we go back to the phones.
Tony, I will I'll comment on your point that we have to forget the first part in order to enjoy the latter part. This season will never be what it could have been.
Yep.
But I might have 10 seasons left before I'm sitting here slobbering, trying to change the channel on the television with my telephone. I'm not giving away any football seasons. And after 4 weeks, I have to revise my goals. I'm just talking about how I'm going to enjoy it. I can't tell anybody else what to do. But this can become a season that we can say is a step forward.
Back to the phones we go. I totally agree with that. And you can't help but look at the amount of talent on the field tonight. Because this is where it's really going to tell the tale. It's when you see some of these lesser teams and you see just the amount of talent. And you consider the young offensive linemen who played tonight and how they ran behind them. And just the growth of Dobbs. You know, guys, Dobbs doesn't have the best passing arm in the world. He doesn't. But he's a hell of a football player.
I think they completed their first bomb since the Casey Clawson era.
Thank
tonight.
You.
How about freaking Josh
Thank
Malone?
Thank you. Thank you.
Josh freaking Malone.
Thank you. Step up.
Stud.
Yeah.
Dobbs is a stud.
Yeah.
You got a pass rush all of a sudden. Getting after the opposing passers. Look, I know it's Kentucky, but it would be one thing if Tennessee was struggling to beat these teams. So you're going out there and you're hammering Kentucky. And it could have been a lot worse. I mean, Tennessee could have scored 70 tonight if they wanted to very, very easily. Probably could have gotten to 80. So, yeah, you got to be encouraged.
Back to the phones we go. 865-200-5402. And I'm going to say it one more time. I love seeing Tennessee beat the daylights out of somebody. Beat the brakes off somebody. Make them like it. Let's do it again next week. Let's do it in Neyland Stadium. Let's make it a double date, and we'll be right back here celebrating that. 52-21, Tennessee with the win. Let's go back to the phones. Get our next call in. Smartway, Dalton Bearing Hydraulic, fifth quarter fan reaction. Hello.
What'd you say, man?
Hey, fabulous, fabulous. What's up, man?
Well, here's the readjustment for you. Win out. We'll finish second in the East, win our bowl game, carry a six-game win streak into the over the new year there.
Six-game winning streak going in the next season where Tennessee starts off the season 3-0. That'll be a nine-game winning streak going into the Florida game. Dare I say, here in Knoxville, which begins a four-game Define Butch Jones in this era gauntlet at the University of Tennessee. Hey, Freddie, by the way, a little birdie today told me, you guys will appreciate this. I was talking yesterday about how Frank Beamer the last couple weeks has dug in his heels, and we saw this here with Coach Fulmer digging in his heels. He is trying to lobby to get his son that job up there. He's going to get off the stage. He wants his son to have the job. They don't want his son to have the job. And they don't want his coordinator, Foster, to have the job. They want to start fresh and start anew.
Of course.
And they're going to go after Rich Rodriguez is what I'm hearing. That's what Virginia Tech wants to do.
Be a good move for them.
Yeah. And it would take him back. It would bring him back into this
much
better area.
Than giving it to Shane Beamer.
Well, Freddie, it's going to be interesting. What's sad for him is it looks like he's going to run out of steam, but they're on Tennessee's early season schedule next year. Fabulous, fabulous.
Well, of course, finishing second in the East is okay this year. That'll give us a spot to improve next year. But as far as Beamer goes, I was telling Beano, you know, they open up for Liberty next year. Virginia Tech does, which is an exhibition game. They're to go ahead and hire their coach and keep Beamer on for the first two games of next year. Let him do that exhibition against Liberty. And he deserves to get to go to that Bristol game. I mean, he built their program up there. And that wasn't hurt a thing.
Yep, and they're not going to let him do it.
No.
They're going to push him off the stage.
The only way
like.
They'd let him do it is if they do hire his son, it sounds like. So.
Yeah.
But, guys, it was... you were talking about how this football team, I think Beano and you both were, and maybe Russell, how undervalued this team is. And for years, I've been looking at the CBS. They rank their teams 1 through 132 or whatever it is. And I just decided to go there and look at it today. We're the 40th ranked team in the country on their poll. But here's the killer. Appy State is 34. Western Kentucky is 36. And Bowling Green's 38. So they had us undervalued below those teams. I just think that, I guess we brought some of that on ourselves, but guys, there's not 40 football teams.
No! Here's a great question for you, Freddie, and there's no way of knowing it. You know, it's like saying, people say, well, if Tennessee played Iowa's schedule, they'd be unbeaten. I don't know about that. I don't know. Maybe they would, maybe they wouldn't be. I'll tell you this, though. If you could find me 15 teams in this country that have better talent than Tennessee on both lines of scrimmage and with the depth of the special teams, more power to you. Because I'm going to tell you something. I don't think you can. I don't think there are 15 teams out there, Freddie, that are better than Tennessee.
No. Well, college football's at a kind of a juncture right now. The game is so much better than everything that surrounds it. It's much better than the way the TV coverage sets up. It's beyond the refereeing, the replay system. It's beyond whatever they call their playoff system. And the TV coverage with 40 games out there, that means there's guys doing games. I don't even think they know anything about football. I was watching a game today, and I don't know which one, and a team was 12 points ahead in the fourth quarter with about 6 minutes left to go and was driving and was in field goal range. And the color guy kept saying, well, you don't want to kick a field goal here. It gains you nothing. Now, what it does, it gains you where two touchdowns don't beat you. I mean, you go from 12 to 15. He kept saying that and kept saying that. And here's the bad thing about it, Tony. That guy, as we're speaking right now, is somewhere eating $100 steak on per diem. And you're having to talk to people like me after midnight here. with more talent volunteering with Russell and Bino and Sean and all of them than this TV guy will ever have. It just don't make sense.
Appreciate you making me feel good about myself, Freddie. Thank you. Thanks for the uplifting phone call. Anything else you want to say? Maybe it'll end with like me sipping on some arsenic or something.
Yeah, I got one more thing to say. Florida was wearing blue today and Georgia was wearing red.
Absolutely. Did they get away with that because that's the neutral site game?
That's the only thing I could figure out, or they just, I don't know. What the story is.
I'll tell you what.
I love that.
Florida might have been wearing their colors and Georgia might have been wearing theirs, but Georgia looked black and blue to me when that game ended today. How about the beating? What is going on with Georgia and that quarterback situation? What is that? Have you guys ever seen two quarterbacks in a Southeastern Conference game this deep in a season that looked looked combined that poorly? Have we ever seen that anywhere? And by the way, speaking of a team on our schedule, did you guys see what Houston, who was a one-point favorite tonight, did to Vanderbilt in that game? They beat the living hell out of them.
Yep.
I mean, who? Where do these lines come from? It's like the valuing and devaluing, Freddie, that you were talking about.
Yeah.
Freddie, give me that kicking stat that you gave us, because I want people to hear this. You gave me this yesterday at the Hardee's over in beautiful Oak Ridge, and it was great seeing you. Share this number with Russell.
Well, I don't know if I've got it on top of my head or not, but do you mean from a particular distance?
Yeah, like kickers from, 45 plus or 50 plus?
From 40 to 49 yards. If you'll give me just 1 second, I had it here and I'll just...
Okay, yeah. And by the way, I'll vamp here for a second. Okay. Freddie's number is presented by our friends at Tennessee Sports Medicine. John Krusenklaas and the gang there, these are absolutely tremendous people. John, I want you to know, love you. Mrs. B loves you. I want folks to go see you. I want folks to get out of that pain that they're in. I want folks to know that Tennessee Sports Medicine Group is going to teach you a healthier way to live. going to teach you the exercises, going to take time for you, going to take time to get to know you. Not a mill. 2260 Sutherland Avenue in Knoxville. Online at 10sportsmed.com. You can see the link at TonyBasilio.com. And if you've been like me and you've been several places, try the best. Try the best. Tennessee Sports Medicine Group. Go ahead, Fred.
And it's been updated to include today's, it looks like. From 40 to 49 yards in the NCAA, there's 43 kickers that are kicking 75% or above from that length.
From 40 to 49, 75%.
Yeah, there's 43 kickers. And from 50 yards and beyond, there's 24 kickers that are kicking 50% or better.
One quarter of the kickers in college football make half their kicks from 50 yards and beyond.
It used to be unheard of. You know, I mean, a 50-yard field goal was just
thank you,
crazy
Freddie.
Talk.
But great talking to you. Thanks, man. And by the way, I was just told on Twitter that Gary Danielson is the guy that made the comment about it was in the Georgia game, how you don't want to kick a field goal there because you don't want to go up 15. It doesn't do anything for you.
I usually like Gary Danielson.
So do I.
That's absurd.
Gary Danielson has fallen in love with his own voice. They need to mute his microphone just like they did Barney Fife. He needs to shut up.
I didn't get to see that entire game. But one thing I like that they're doing, or I don't like, but I think it's silly. Have you guys noticed how they've introduced props into the SEC-CBS game? You had the game where Vernon put on the chin strap in the booth, and then that Texas A&M Bama game where Danielson with the bookends, and he had the books in there.
Yeah.
What's up with that? Why are we turning these guys into method actors in the booth all of a sudden?
By the way, did you guys see the prop, the thing that jumped out and spooked Herb Street tonight?
I like that.
At the end of the play, I just retweeted it from Kyle B. Kyle, thanks for finding this. There's a player from Miami, Dubsy. Look at this. They're going into the end zone. Check this play out. He's going in. His helmet goes off at the back of the play. He tears his helmet off while he's still in the field of play.
The Miami kid showed a lot of class celebrating.
Oh, the Miami kids aren't gonna. They're not gonna rub it in. They're
Corn Elder who scored the winning
Corn Elder
from Ensworth.
Now, how do we know his name? How do we know Corn Elder's name?
He was a basketball and football recruit.
That's right.
I believe he's finishing up his 20th year.
That's exactly right.
I think Kevin O'Neill recruited him.
Can't believe Children of the Corn Elder is still there. It's incredible. Let me remind you what you're listening to, and then we're going to go right back to our phones and keep the conversation going.
It's time for another hour of power on today's game. It's the Smartway Dalton Behring fifth quarter fan reaction, where you are the star of the postgame. Presented without commercial interruption. The lines are open now. 865-200-5402. 865-200-5402. And now, it's time to get your host, Tony Basilio.
An hour plus is down in the books. Russell W. Smith is across from me. He starts a new show at 1340 a.m., 3 o'clock on Monday. Be there, my good friends.
I guess that's technically tomorrow.
Don't start.
Because we don't fall back until 2 a.m. officially.
In the midnight hour, we're going to cry more. We're going back to our phones. Bino's there. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Well, Tony, how you doing today, brother?
Hey, doing great. Thank you for getting in here with us. Thank you.
Well, guys, I'm so excited about where I think this football program is headed.
Yeah.
The offense has looked terrific. I was upset about the Oklahoma and Florida game.
Mm-hmm.
I was at Buddy's Barbecue and last night I had a Mississippi State fan, had my Tennessee sweatshirt on, and he asked me, do we think we're going to win? And I said, yeah, I mean, you know, obviously I think we should win. And he said, well, you know, you guys should be a one-loss team right now, probably. He said, your coach got a little conservative in that Florida and Oklahoma game. And And I think he did, but we got to move past it. And why I say that we got to move past it, because I think Butch has learned from it. I mean, in the Arkansas game, that offense, they don't give you a lot of possessions, but they at least tried to pass the ball. In the Georgia game, you saw what you got. In the Alabama game, you saw what you got. Tonight, you're seeing we're much more aggressive. We're much more balanced. We look like the potent offense that I thought we would be. And if we keep this moving forward, guys, I think you should be hopeful. And I think that you should be hopeful in Butch Jones. And that doesn't make you a sheep. That just, it's just you recognizing good football. I mean, is there anything wrong? I don't see anything.
No, listen, if you feel great about it, you shouldn't have to apologize to anybody. Look, if you listen to me, you know I'm never going to tell somebody how to think. I think the most beautiful thing about what we do in sports is five people can sit there and go to a game and all five can see something different. And guess what? All five can be right. All five can be right. Here's what I heard from you. I heard our coach, hopefully, is better as a head coach at this level than he was before the season. You know what?
Right.
I think that is a worthwhile goal for him, and I think that is a worthwhile expectation of him. You've got to learn. Look, I'm a lot better at this than I was last year, and I've done it for 20-plus years. I don't know what you do for a living, but I hope whatever it is, you get better at it. You know,
well,
that's all. And I hope the guy makes it. I want him to make it.
Well, I think he has. All you can look at is what he does on the field. And like what some of the other callers have said, you know, Dooley's teams look like they didn't even care. And one thing you need to credit Butch Jones for, no matter who, you know, how depressing a loss has been or what fans say or whatever, these teams under Butch Jones will fight you to the bitter end. And I love that about that, about this team, and his teams that he's had. They play relentless football. And my whole knock was, early on, why are we not utilizing the passing game? I mean, guys, in the Florida game, at one point in time, there was 45 run plays to 14 passes. You can't win like that. That's too one-dimensional. Well, Butch has changed that, obviously, so I have to believe that he's learned from his mistakes, and we'll see. But I think we have a lot of momentum. I think we're going to win out. I think we're going to get Michigan, and we're going to stop Harbaugh in the Outback Bowl, and that's what I'm hoping for.
You know what? I'll say this to you. Here's what I like what I'm seeing. I'm seeing a head coach who's dialed it back on the sidelines. I'm seeing a head coach during the game who's kind of staying out of the way, which is really what I want him to do. Because I think he's too emotional over there. He still goes ape and crazy on the refs a little too much for me, but he's not going to change. I like their approach and the way they're using number one all of a sudden in running him inside. They're playing some power football with what they're with their game. I love some of the new wrinkles. And I'm with Bino. I like the way that team tonight. I was so afraid of them being a little depressed or let down after the Alabama game last week. There seems to be a lot of toughness and tough people in that locker room.
Mm-hmm.
And Butch Jones has to get credit for that. And I love the special teams play. Because, you know, we've had coaches here give us lip service. And I'm going to go back to the Fulmer era. Philip Fulmer was a classic. I'm going to give lip service to the special teams. But he never had return games like this. We used to sit there and cry for years about how we never saw punts and kicks return for touchdowns. It was a rare exception. These guys, I mean, their return games are lights out.
Lights out. And it's, to me, that's a sign of a good coach. A coach that focuses on special teams and makes sure their special teams is right. And it's really been a breath of fresh air. One thing the play calling to me has been spot on. What I'd like to see, guys, and this is the one thing that drives me crazy. And, you know, Steve Spurrier said, people may accuse me of running up the score, but they can never call me a loser.
Yep.
And if we're going to put Dormady in there,
yep,
let him sling that daggum ball.
Yep.
Like, don't put him in there just to hand it off. it drives me absolutely bonkers when they do that. I don't like that. If you bring your second team quarterback in, run the daggum offense, especially when it looks like that guy's the quarterback of the future, and throwing the ball is what he does well. Like, let him get some game reps.
First of all, he's in there earlier for me, and he would have been in there earlier for Spurrier. Because the truth is, in this league, no matter who you're playing, even against North Texas, you're one snap away from having that guy on the field. I don't want him out there green as grass. I want him out there with at least some dirt in his cleats, okay? Your point is well taken. Run the offense. Another wrinkle we saw tonight, guys, let's give credit where credit is due. They're down there on the goal line. Quarterback gets under center.
Oh, I love that.
How about they lined up under center around midfield in the first quarter with a fullback in an offset eye formation? It looked super awkward, though. It got stuffed.
That's okay.
Up.
That's okay. Hey, I didn't mind the Wildcat tonight. And by the way, that is one mean, nasty kid who I think belongs at safety. He comes back after getting stuffed, and I mean he got stuffed, and he made a nasty catch over the middle and took a nasty hit and did not seem any worse for wear. That kid is a play-yah as a true freshman.
He really is, and I don't know where that ferociousness comes from.
Oh.
I know he's also a quarterback, but I mean that kid is Jennings is ferocious.
He just,
you can tell he's got a mean streak.
Yeah, he was looking for contact when he caught that ball.
It's unreal. And you know what, Tony, I'll say this. I think we win out. I think we go second in the East, and I think we go to a bowl game, a good bowl game, and have a chance to win 9 games. And I think the criticism of Butch Jones for the Oklahoma and Florida game was fair for the most part, but I also think we need to give him praise for basically, you know, we're finishing, considering where we've been as a program the last 7 or 8 years, you know, we're finishing second in the East. We're going to go with a lot of momentum. And I think next year, guys, looking at the schedule, I think 9-3 is the bare minimum. I mean,
totally agree.
You've got 8 games next year that you should win. Just go out there, execute, and you're the better team. You got 4 toss-up games. I think 9 or 10 wins is a very acceptable expectation.
To whom much is given, much is expected. Tennessee does not get to Atlanta next year. That season, in my opinion, is a failure. Period, end of sentence. You got the schedule.
I can agree with that, Tom.
You got the team. You got everybody in upper-class type years. And I really appreciate your phone call. Thank you. The one thing I don't do, though, is coach worship. And here's why. This is what coach worship gets you. Penn State's in the Big Ten where they never should have been because they worship Joe Paterno, and he led them there. And now they're in the wilderness. Nebraska, Beano, as sure as I'm sitting here, because they worship Tom Osborne, they got mad at Texas, they took their ball and went to the Big Ten, and they have 6 losses as a football program for the first time in the history of their school. Before the month of November, and as sure as I'm sitting here, they are a program without an identity, without a future, without a conference, and with a fan base that's been ripped from their history. Well, it would be the equivalent of Dave Hart announcing tomorrow that Tennessee is going to join the Big Ten. That's what they've done.
Speaking of athletics directors, how about Kentucky? That team, you know, last year, who was it? They beat
Sugar High.
Like Louisville or somebody.
No, it was early in the season.
And they turned around and give Stoops a big contract, raising contract extension. He's done absolutely nothing.
Yep.
And I'll tell you right now, if Tennessee does what they should do and closes it and win these next 4 games, there's going to be, you know, the state-run media folks are going to be clamoring for another raise and extension for Butch Jones and his assistants. Oh, they turned it around and finished strong.
No.
Things are headed in the right direction.
No.
They win a bowl game. You win 9 games. And there's going to be pressure on Dave Hart to reward Butch Jones and this staff financially. I guarantee you. I'm not saying they should. Of course they shouldn't. It's ridiculous. But there's going to be Butch's agent is going to come to him and say,
of course he is.
He's in play for the Miami
job
or
something.
If you don't reward him, we're going to remember this.
Beano, jump in here.
The way it is now.
Beano, jump in here. Your thoughts.
Well, you know how ridiculous I think it all is, Tony. I told you Power 5 football in college is a mini NFL now, and the coaches should be treated accordingly. They should be paid about $5-6 million a year with no buyouts, with the edict, you win or you're gone, period.
Back to the phones we go. And let's get our next call in. By the way, tonight, my name's Tony Basilio, as it will stay throughout this program. That is Dubsy, Russell Smith across from you, starts a show on 1340. Richie was invited down here tonight, but apparently Richie has a, what does Richie have?
He has a strict curfew. There was a incident on the strip a couple of years ago. Richie D, he has one of those ankle monitor bracelet thingies. He cannot be in public. It's kind of a house arrest thing, you know, before 10 o'clock at night. He's got to be confined.
Well, they should let him come over to Tony's then, because you guys are under house arrest for like every Saturday night.
Here's what they're saying at Kentucky tonight. One guy said, who's on Matt Jones's site over there at Kentucky Sports Radio, better stadium, we have better players, better coaches, and the same results. I have been all in, but now I'm losing it. I'm trying to stay engaged. Matt Jones, whose site that is saying the following, which I love, okay? Really disappointing. A total stomping like this shouldn't happen at home against a non-elite team. I love pain.
What a bunch of losers.
I love pain. Matt Jones, I love pain. If only you knew, Matt. If only you knew, Matt. I've got several listeners that drove up there and probably listened to us during the week for Tennessee football information during the week, who stuffed their Tennessee jerseys into their duffel bags, their blue duffel bags, so they could go in burrito, and they walked into that gym today to watch the Cats work out. And to you people, I say, get a damn identity. We beat the hell out of you today. We. You. I'm talking to you, Volcat Phillip, you sheep. Don't come on here and call Tennessee we. We is we. We is not you. You cheer for the Kentucky Wildcats in basketball. We is not you. We is us. And you're a clown. And people like you.
What a crap program. Kentucky football, what a joke. It's funny.
There's two things that never change about the Kentucky-Tennessee series. Doesn't matter when it's played. If it's played in November, it's played in October.
Yes.
The weather stinks the night we play them. And as soon as the game's over, regardless of the month, we usher them into basketball season.
Yep. And this year now the fact is we just do it earlier.
Complete joke.
I mean, guys, Back to the Future just celebrated its 30th anniversary, and Kentucky literally has one win since then. Back to the phones. And by the way, we have been in the wilderness as a program. If Matt Jones and those clowns up there think they were going to beat us, now I thought tonight's game would be close because I thought we'd have a hangover. Kentucky, Jerry Glanville says to me, I can't believe this town. I mean, Kentucky on film. I said, Coach, it doesn't matter, film. Kentucky sucks, and they're going to get, you'll see. He texts me at night, I'm kind of getting in the groove here now. I'm getting in the groove. Let's go back to our phones, Gary. Next call in. Hello and welcome.
What's up, guys? Bobby.
Hey, Bobby.
Hope you're having a good weekend. It was a wonderful Halloween over here at the Roberto.
It was a beautiful Halloween. We only had one kid here, some girl, and I dumped a whole bag of candy in her bucket.
Well, the kiddos got to have their first real fun Halloween experience, so it was great. And then I come into the Vols down 7-0, and hit the rewind button to watch what happened. I'm like, oh god, here we go. But then I went, oh, wait a minute, we're playing Kentucky, we're gonna beat the hell out of them. That's literally what I said to myself. Basically, we are Kentucky's Florida for us. But ironically, Kentucky has their own Florida agenda as well. Kentucky can't get out of their own way. They actually have some talent up there. And guys, if you had to rank the four coaches that were hired the year Butch did, rank them real quick.
Who were the four coaches? Remind us.
Malzahn, Jones, Brett Bielema, and Stoops.
Elite company right there.
I mean, Malzahn, they stuck this year, but they did go to a national championship game his first year there. Yeah. That has to count for something.
I'll put Malzahn one, Bielema and Jones grouped together, and the other guy, I mean, you can't judge him. He's at a spot
it's weird,
where
though, with Malzahn.
You can't
you know
win.
I think Stoops is actually going to get a huge job at some point. I may be nuts, but I think his name and the fact that he's doing something at Kentucky and getting decent players
he's
up
gonna
there.
He's going to have to do something more, though. I think he makes a lovely defensive coordinator here in a couple of years for another big power SEC school.
By the way, the media knows something we don't. When guys like Dennis Dodd write this, something's going to happen. He wrote, Mark Richt and Georgia can't go through this together again. Let's hope the separation's classy, but it must come. Here's the thing about coaches and people that always want to fire coaches. You see with these hires how hard it is to find a coach. So when you start firing people, when you start firing people, you might just go through what Nebraska's going through. Now, you might strike gold. You might be in Notre Dame and you get Brian Kelly.
Go through what Tennessee's gone through.
But to get to Brian Kelly, how many people did Notre Dame have to hire? Think about it.
A whole bunch of Bob Davies.
Yes, they did. About five or six guys when you stop and think about it.
I mean, Tyrone Willingham was probably the best guy they hired in that whole group of guys.
And
they
was brutal.
He was garbage. Stanford struggling against mighty Wazoo tonight. I don't know if you guys have kept updated on that at all. It's a field goal battle for the ages. Guys, I wanted to hit on one quick thing. I'm not going to dog the team tonight. I was going back and forth. I had a bunch of older guys at my house that were here in the 80s. Is Evan Berry better kick returner right now than Willie Gault?
Beano, it's before my time.
No, I think Willie Gault was the best kick returner in the history of the program.
Evan Berry's closing in quick, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, Evan's just started his time here. So, and I believe he and Willie are the only ones to ever run three kickoffs back in a season for a touchdown.
And he might get another one.
Yeah, he certainly could.
And he leaves the NCAA.
Here's my question, guys, and I know they see him day in, day out in practice, and I'm just a shade tree guy that watches football games. I don't understand why Jennings isn't on defense and Evan Berry isn't on offense.
Thank you, Beano. It had to be said. Exactly right. I was going to ask the same question. And two more quick things, and I appreciate you guys giving us so much time. I look at Tennessee, and the one thing, everybody's talking about how much better our offense looks right now, and I don't disagree, okay? What happened three games ago? What happened three games ago? Formidable offense, even against Alabama. I say what you want. We only scored 14 points, but Alabama may be the best team in football defense. We've looked formidable. Started playing two freshmen on the right side of the offensive line. They want to hurt somebody when they get out there. And they are maulers. It's been a huge windfall for Tennessee. I'm very impressed with them.
Yep.
And I'm very happy with Dobbs. But guys, the other thing that just jumped off the page to me tonight, and this is lost in the numbers and nobody said it, Tennessee had 450-plus yard rushers tonight.
Yeah, they're playing a team that literally cannot stop you on the ground. But I thank you for the phone call.
How about this? We talked about this a couple of weeks ago, Tony. The injuries to the wide receivers have been
a godsend.
A blessing in disguise for Tennessee because you've seen Josh Malone and Vaughn Pearson all of a sudden get into a groove. Vaughn Pearson
this guy,
slot tonight was dominant.
And this guy doesn't have the sense, God bless him, to realize that. Beano, I got to get Jerry Colquitt in here. Give me a couple final thoughts, and then and then we'll convene with him.
Well, Tony, like I told you, as disappointing as the early portion of the season was, there's still an opportunity to turn this into a year that everybody looks back at and says, hey, that's a good step forward in the program. And there is no doubt when you watch this football team how this program has progressed in 3 years. But there's no way it could have been a success in anyone's heart and mind without a win tonight. So there was a lot of pressure on Tennessee tonight, and they certainly went up there and took care of business.
They played
it. It was an enjoyable night.
It was a really enjoyable night. It was exhaling is what it was. We've all held our breath for so long. Just kind of get to let it out. Relax. Enjoy it. Hit November hard. Going for it. Thank you, Beano. Great talking to you, man.
Russell, congratulations on the new venture, and we'll be listening.
Thanks, Beano. Appreciate it.
865-200-5402 if you want to get in with us tonight. I want to remind you as we hit the reset button, Smartway Dalton Bearing Hydraulic fifth quarter fan reaction, the place where we talk about it. My number, should you choose to get in with us tonight, is 865-200-5402, 865-200-5402. We are watching the finishing touches of Stanford, Washington State, as it will round out your college football weekend. Pretty good football game there with Washington State on top 15-12, or 15-10 rather, up in Pullman. And so you've got a good ball game there.
Did you see the Mike Leach interview about the Viking Axe?
He's bizarre.
If any of y'all missed that, just go YouTube it. Just type in Mike Leach Viking Axe. Classic stuff.
He's a complete idiot. 865-200-5402 is our number. Again, 865-200-5402. And if you want to jump in tonight, we get a line available for you. If you want to get in with us tonight and talk about Tennessee's huge win over Kentucky in a ball game that you have to describe as startling. Tennessee's level of firepower, level of execution tonight, level of athlete was on display tonight. And I think Kentucky was shocked. I think some of Tennessee's past opponents are probably shocked by the way Tennessee played. Russell, is it that Kentucky is that bad, or is it that we're taking a step forward right now, that this thing has slowly come together here?
A little bit of both. I mean, I think Tennessee's definitely taking a step forward here, but, I mean, Kentucky, like I said earlier, they're not a great team,
yeah,
but they're not the crap team that they've always been. I mean, that team will win six games at least, maybe seven if they can beat Louisville. They'll go to a bowl game, so... But Kentucky, when it comes to this series, they just don't believe in themselves. They don't believe they can beat Tennessee. It took a Derek Dooley-coached debacle for them to have their one win in my lifetime over Tennessee. They're just a bunch of losers when it comes to football. So, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, to be expected that Tennessee's going to hammer Kentucky every time they take the field, unless Tennessee has a complete boob on their sideline coaching.
Well put. Smartway Dalton Bearing Hydraulic fifth quarter fan reaction. We're going to go back to our phones. Online, gosmartway.net. 8416 Kingston Pike is where you'll find Smartway. You will find them online at gosmartway.net. And if you check out what they do there, or you stop by their showroom at 8416 Kingston Pike, you'll thank me for turning you on to them, because they are revolutionizing the way people shop. Because they have everything for your home and more, and they are the home of pay your way. And I'm going to tell you something. Stanford's getting ready to pay the price up there in the rain in Pullman. Look how brutal that looks, Russell, up there in the great Northwest. No thank you.
Looks fun.
Brutal.
And I love Mike Leach, man. It's a shame that we're robbed of so much of his genius, because he's way out there. These games are always late.
He stinks.
He's off the map.
He stinks.
Love that guy.
Back to the phones we go. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hey, guys. Happy Halloween out there.
Yeah, same to you, man.
Hey, well, before we talk about the big win night in Lexington, hey, when you talk about Ole Miss earlier, and let's just say if they win out, win the SEC, if it comes down between them and Memphis for that final playoff spot, should Memphis go in over them knowing that they beat them in the season?
I'm a big believer in head-to-head. It's interesting you'd bring that up because that's the nightmare scenario right now. For Memphis
If Memphis finishes undefeated.
Yeah, right. And I took that. Obviously, your inference is that Memphis goes unbeaten. And I think it's going to be interesting because if Ole Miss gets through, the big question then becomes, is this the first year the Southeastern Conference does not get a representative in the four-team playoff? Because it's really about the only scenario by which that plays out. If Florida wins the rest and Florida wins in the SEC championship game, they're going to go to the playoff with one loss.
Yeah. But everybody says, isn't the SEC a microcosm of college football as a whole this year? Because people say, well, there's not a great team in the SEC. There's not a great team in college football.
There's not.
Look at Ohio State. Those two teams from the Big 12, I mean, you go through the top five.
You're exactly right.
All those teams, all six or seven undefeated teams have significant flaws.
Totally agree.
They could be beaten by each other on any given day.
But his point, which is a great point, is before the beginning of the year, everybody says it's a guarantee, it's a lead pipe cinch lock, that the winner of this league goes to the playoff.
But we also all knew that the SEC would cannibalize itself and that there's a distinct possibility that a team has one or two losses and you could have. I mean, go back to what we're talking about with Florida. Is there any doubt that Jim McElwain will have that team ready to play whoever? Florida could win the SEC.
But I'm back to the point that this gentleman's talking about as well, which is a great one, which is that's all true. The SEC has gotten better and better and better and better and better. But it's produced national champion after national champion after national champion.
It's the NFL development.
Absolutely what it is.
That's basically what it is.
Yeah, and it's, you know, when I came here 25 years ago, it was a pretty good league, but it was a regional conference. And now it is a nationally heralded, nationally celebrated, and respected conference. You took the words right out of my mouth. And respect is a huge thing. People don't look at the SEC anymore and go, oh, that's hillbilly football. They look at the SEC now and they say, that is the next best thing to the NFL going today. And it doesn't matter if it's too middling. Like tonight, for instance, Kentucky and Tennessee. I guarantee you that game had some different eyeballs on it. Because Tennessee's got a hell of a lot of players on it to watch. It's like that now. It's just the way the league is.
All right, about the game tonight.
Sure.
I know Kentucky's not a very, Kentucky's just an average at best team, and that's really no disrespect to them. That's real what they're going to be. They're a basketball school. That's just the way they are. If they get a bowl game, they're dancing in the streets.
Right.
I mean, if Ohio State, TCU, Baylor, Florida, LSU, Bama, if they did what we did tonight, they're expected to. What we did tonight was impressive because, I expected maybe at most a two-touchdown win at most. We looked impressive. I mean, if we win ugly, we win ugly. But we looked impressive in all phases of the game. At the time, we looked like, I know there's really no favorite in college football. Right now, I swear I think Tennessee could beat any team if they wanted to. And at the same token, they can lose to any team they want to.
Well, like Freddie said earlier, about an hour ago, Freddie was on here. And he said that he was looking at something. CBS Sportsline ranks the teams, like 1 to 126 or however many Division I teams there are. And they had Tennessee 40 in America. And my point is, if there are 12 teams better than Tennessee, I'd like to see them. Because I'm going to tell you something. I'm not convinced Oklahoma's better than Tennessee. Now, they won, and you tip your cap to them. But they were fortunate to get out of here with a win. Florida beat Tennessee down there. They were flat lucky. I mean, let's just call that what it was to win that game. And really, Alabama is probably going to be a playoff team unless LSU upends them next weekend. And the truth is, if Tennessee knew how to win, if they just knew how to win, They would have won last weekend's game. So we're not, the eyes are not failing us. These guys are so close that when you see them put it together like they did tonight, which is what Russell and I were just talking about, man, it's a scary thing to watch because we will come at you the way Baylor and TCU come at people offensively. And if we just throw the ball downfield just a little more like we did tonight, man, you can open the whole field up for those playmakers. And we'll have some fun in these parts next year.
We had a right to be down for this football game.
Absolutely.
We had a right to be down.